Good evening, everybody. Today, I would like to talk on this topic that giving and forgiving. So, usually, most of the people in this world, they're only looking for the success in getting more and more and more, and accumulating more and more and more. I think there are very, very few, in this world, that the people are really looking for the success in giving and forgiving. And I hope that you do not think that, you know, I'm talking about giving, because just now Peter talked about we are having this big project. Actually, I didn't know that he's going to talk about this big project. So it's not because that we want you to support us, to give us, donate more money, then I talk about giving. So then you can give more to the nuns' monastery. Actually, it's just that this is one of the very, very important qualities that a lot of people tend to overlook, and they do not think that it is important. And it's also because of I was really inspired by the giving, the generosity of a lot of people that have been supporting the nuns' monastery. And some of you might know that the nuns, the bhikkhuni from Dhammasara, that we have recently, we've been to Sri Lanka, and we received a sapling of this Mahabodhi tree. Actually, this sapling of this Bodhi tree actually is the original Bodhi tree that is the Buddha sat under, and he got enlightened. That is this sapling actually was brought by this Arahant Sankhamitta Theri. She's brought this sapling of this Bodhi tree from Bodh Gaya, India, to Sri Lanka, and there she established this Bhikkhuni order in Sri Lanka. And now, this sapling of this Bodhi tree being, you know, brought back to Australia. And this is really, really a historical event. Because the reason why this Mahathera, that is from this Anuradhapura, he's this, the reason why he want to give this sapling of this Bodhi tree to us, because we are the only bhikkhuni training monastery in this Theravada traditions. So because of that, and based on that, he said that he trusts that we will look after this tree very well. And also because of, actually, each year, there are many, many people applying to have this Bodhi tree, because it's very significant. But each year, they only be able to produce about 3 to 4 sapling. This is a seed sapling. And because this tree is really, really old, it's about 2,247 years old. Just imagine, if an old lady tried to have children, it's very difficult. The same to this tree, that they hardly bear fruit, you know, they have just a few seeds, managed to, you know, they managed to get only 3 to 4. So there's about at least 200-300, you know, applicants for that. But we are very fortunate to have this. And this happened on the 4th of November. And we were so touched by this the kindness of this Mahathera. And we were given this recognition of the bhikkhuni. And when we went up to the place that to receive the Bodhi tree, the sapling of this Bodhi tree, because the area is really prohibited. Actually, we are the first bhikkhunis be invited to go into this prohibited area, because only the monks and the Mahathera, even someone told us, even the president also is not allowed to go in there. So we were so blessed and we were so touched and so fortunate that we have this honor and privilege to go in there. And when we went up to this area, the prohibited area, instead of, you know, because we just follow the bhikkhu, you know, to line up there. But this Mahathera, he's so respectful to the bhikkhuni, he, instead of asking us to walk behind, He asked us to walk side by side, you know, the side to the bhikkhu, giving us the recognition, the respect, you know. And we really feel so touched, the kindness, the support that we've been given. After that, when we receive the body tree, so we have a procession. So with the trumpets and drums, you know, the traditioners, and we have about 100 over people participate in this ceremony, and it's really beautiful and auspicious event. And some people travel from Colombo 6 hours to Anuradhapura, and they were so inspired. And some travel from other village, that's about 1.5 hours, some 2 hours or 3 hours, all the way, you know. And the moment when we receive the body tree, everybody just says sadhu, sadhu, and they just touch, everybody touch the body tree. And there's so lots of faith. And I find that it's very inspiring, the faith that the people have. Then when we have these processions, and the Mahathera invited us to lead the procession, and we feel so honored and privileged to be able to receive this settling of the body tree, and also given the recognition, the respect. And that really touches our heart. And also, after that, when we talk to these villagers that participate in this event, the fact that they know that there's still bhikkhuni in this world, they're very inspired, because they can't touch monk. The fact that they can't touch us, the fact that they have the opportunities to touch our feet, they feel so happy, you know, and really inspire us because of their inspiration, and really inspire us. So never underestimate the power of giving. When you give, you know, when you support someone, you know, just give the respect. Given the respect, there's no need to have a lot of material things that you need to give away. Only give the respect and recognition. It's meant so much to many, many people. And the fact that, you know, this historical event that happened, it will not happen without the support and without the generosity of all the people who support Dhammasara Nuns Monastery. It will not happen, you know, because of all of you been supporting the nuns. And actually, you are not supporting the bhikkhuni, not the samanari or the anakarikas. Actually, you are supporting all the women. You are giving all the women the opportunities to live the monastic life. So that is a very powerful giving. And it's quite tiring because our schedule is so tight. But when I come back, actually the next day, we arrive on the 8th, you know, the next day, 9, and some of us still go to Bodhiana to listen to the talk. And on the 10th, I still have to attend one of the events, this multicultural events. I was invited to be the one of the panel speaker. But I never feel tired. Even though it's really the bodily, I'm at, you know, this is tired, but mentally, because so uplifted because of the inspiration, the joy, the happiness. So giving actually is makes you happy, lots of happiness. So that's why this giving, they are on the top list of these 10 paramis, these 10 spiritual qualities. This is one of the mental qualities that the Buddhas again and again and emphasize and encourage us to cultivate. So giving is not only giving material things, you know. Giving is also an act of kindness. And giving is also renounce, you know. You renounce, renunciation. And that is also in the second factor of the Noble Eightfold Path. So that's why it's very important to have the right attitude, right understanding what is meant by giving. So some people give, a lot of people give with all sorts of reason. Some people give because they want to get something out of it. You know, I give you and then I helped you, then you help me back. And I scratch your back, you scratch my back. And it's really fair dinkum. This is how people, you know. you know, in this world, you want to get something in return. So if you want to get something in return, this is not giving. This is a deal. It's a business deal. Giving is unconditionally. That's why giving is also act of kindness, you know. So that is different level of giving. And giving is also a way of letting go. And you always hear people say, letting go, letting go. But the problem is, people let go the common sense first. You know, then when you hear letting go, and then the first thing people let go, they let go of their common sense. But what to let go? So instead of, you know, accumulating, we help us to let go. So the reason why this is the top of the list, because the cause of our suffering is come from getting things. It's come from the craving. So the only way to overcome our suffering is to abandon the craving. Then that is to, instead of getting, to give. You know, give. So very important. So giving. So some people give, you know, because of they want to get rid of things. You know, they don't want it, so they just dump it to others. I remember when I was young, my mom, she was my first Dharma teacher. She used to tell me, if you want to give something to others, make sure that it is good. You give the best to others. If something no good, make sure that you don't give it to others. Because you don't want, other people don't want to. It's you don't dump it, you know, like a rubbish bin, you give it to others. This is not the attitude. Then you don't have to have a lot to give. It's the heart. Very important is what you give makes you happy. The happiness that when you give, you feel good. You feel good about yourself. And a lot of people think that they have to have lots of material things to give. No, you don't have to. It's the most important thing that is what your heart, what makes you happy. I remember some times ago when I told someone about this King Asoka, the story of King Asoka that is, he offered the Buddha when the previous life, and he offered Buddha a sand when Buddha went on alms round. So he offered some sand, you know, he put into the Buddha bowl, and the Buddha just accept, you know, the sand. And then the monk said, why you accept it, you know? He asked the Buddha. The Buddha said, actually, because the Buddha have the psychic power, he be able to read the this little boy mind. He said actually when he gave this sand to the Buddha to give put into the Buddha bowl, actually in his mind is gold, something very precious, is something good. Then he's giving this to the Buddha. So the Buddha said, next life he will be a great king, a great emperor. This is the King Asoka. I remember when I told someone said that, you know, I like that idea though, because that next time, then I can get a stone, you know, then you save lots of money, then you go back to your wife, you offer to your wife, you say, this is from my heart. To me, this stone is a diamond. So you give it to your wife, so you save lots of money. So you just tell your wife, no need diamond, a stone, because in my heart is a diamond. So I give you with all my heart, it's a diamond. So you save lots of money, you know. I hope it's work. So it's very important that you give. And then there's an act of kindness we give. We only not like, last I remember one of my relatives, her daughter, she used to be very selfish at home. She never helped the brothers, never helped the sisters, and just very selfish. When my sister went to school and talked to the teacher, the my relative, and she was so surprised, the teacher told. The mother said, oh, your girl, she's such a wonderful person. She's so helpful. She really helped everybody. So her mother was so strange. At home, she never helped. You know, because of we attached to being kind, because she said that she go out to help people, praises, said that she's such a kind person. So people, you know, sometimes you have to have the right understanding. We give, it's not because we want someone to praise us, to have the recognition that we are kind person. So that is that, this is giving. So actually giving actually have to start from ourselves. The generosity have to start from ourselves. We have to not only generous to others, be generous to ourselves. Give our time, give ourselves time to practice, to meditate, and also to give support, you know, kindness to our own, you know, sibling. I was sorry for that because of the Buddha's, our sibling, you know. Then that is, you know, we can support. Like for, we don't have to, for example, are we kind? You know, do we have a thoughts of loving kindness towards our own partners, our own children, our own brothers and sisters, to give them the support, to give them the help when they needed it? So it's general, giving is also an act of kindness. So we give. And giving is also like, for example, like we practice virtues, like we keep the precepts, you know. Then we are practicing non-harming. So we give up harming others. And it's also giving. It's a gift to the society and to the community. Because you give safety to others, people feel safe. That being with you because you practice non-harming. And it's important. And the Buddha said that of all the gifts, you know, the gifts of Dhamma excel all gifts. So this is one of the gifts. If you're being a virtuous person, keeping the precept, practice non-harming, non-violent, is also giving. So it's important that we have to have the start with the right understanding. And I remember, I think 2 years ago, when we have this Vesak celebration, and someone asked a question. They said, we have been supporting the monks and nuns, but what happened? The monk disrobed. And I still remember that, and Venpa Niroda, she's the one who answered these questions, and Venpa Niroda beautifully answered. He said that you give, you will not ask for anything in return. So you give. So you just not say, oh, I support the monks or nuns, make sure that you stay in robes. So if you don't stay in robes, so I will not support you. So then that is not giving anymore. So give the support. And some caring, you know, that is also giving. So that is a different level of giving, you know. Of course, we have to start from the coarser level to more refined level. So we have to give up, of course, practice with material things first, you know, giving material things away. Then slowly, then more refined. That is to give up, you know. That our defilements, great hatred and delusions, that is give up harming and violent, practice non-harming and non-violent. And this is another way. So actually, by being a virtuous person, live a good life, actually is a teaching by itself. So when we said the gift of Dharma is accept all gifts, doesn't mean that you have to give an elaborate, you know, teaching, you know, talk about Abhidharma. No. How we live our life. Because some of our supporters, when they come to our monastery, when they talk to us, they said that sometimes when they're in the office, the colleagues, they're interested, they ask, oh, you always look very calm and very happy. And then when they're interested, and they know that they are Buddhists, because this is how you carry yourself, how you conduct yourself. It's much more important. It's not what you said. It's not what we said. You know, like the Buddha said, like sometimes we were just good in just talking, you know, give a discourse, you know, elaborate discourse, but they don't live it. So they only know how to talk the walk, and they never walk the talk. So that's why it's important that it's not only just like a parrot, everybody can do it. But actually, how we live our life, and are we a generous person? That is itself is a teaching. And actually, talk about the parrots, I remember, remind me of one of the jokes. The story goes like that. There were three brothers, so they're grown up. So when they're grown up, So they left the hometown. So three of them has prosperous, and that's, they have when they get together and they talk about their prosperity. So the first son, the eldest son, said, "Oh, I bought mom a big house, a bungalow." Then the second for mom to live. Then the second son said, "Oh, I bought mom a Mercedes and with a driver." The third son, the younger son, said, "Oh, I won because I got mom a parrot, because mom like to read Bibles, but now she's getting old, and as she's getting old, she can't read Bibles anymore. And this parrot is a very special parrot and been trained for 12 years. These parrots can recite all the Bibles, all the verses. But in the mom, what he just have to point out, just to tell the parrots that which verses that she want to listen, and the parrots can recite. Then after that, here the mom, started to write the letters, to all the three sons. So the mom wrote the first son. He said that the eldest son. He said, "Thank you very much. You bought this big house, a bungalow for me, but I only need one room to stay, but I have to clean the whole house." Then the mom write to the second son. He said that is thank you very much, offering me the Mercedes bank, but I'm getting old. I don't travel. So, and I never used the car. It still stay in the garage, and the driver is very rude." Then she wrote to the third son. Then she said, "Oh, you really have the sense of knowing what I like." Then after that she said, "The chicken was delicious." So it's just a bit of jokes. It just remind me because of the parrots, just recite. So they say it's important how we, conduct ourselves, being a kind person, generous person. It's not only benefit ourselves, we inspire others. So then we let go the material things. Then we come to different level of letting go. Then we letting go slowly. Then we letting go our desires. That's really the cause of our suffering. That is the second noble truth. We want to get more. And actually, talk about getting a desires remind me of quite a few years ago when I was just ordained. My friend invited me to go to Burma. And before she invited me, I was okay. I'm quite happy, quite peaceful at ease. I have never have any thought of going anywhere to visit any places. But because of her invitation, it's triggered off my desires, craving. Then I started to feel excited. Then I started to think, how am I going to convince Ajahn Mayama to let me go? So, and then the whole night, the mind go on and on and on, thinking of the ways of how to get what I want, to convince her to allow me to go. And I just on and on, and I realized that certainly I just feel like it's suffering. Those excitement actually is affliction. Then I realized that what I want actually is suffering. Then I realized that. I said before that I was fine. When I wasn't offered, being invited, and I'm all right. I don't have to go to Burma. I don't have to visit this place. I'm fine. But because I was being triggered off my desires, the craving, to get something, want to go to somewhere else. Then I realized that moment, then I just, I let it go. So I stopped and I told myself, I'm just going to tell Ajahn Mayama that I was invited. It's up to her. She said, if she said I can go, fine. If she said I can't go, fine. I let it go. Then I become peaceful again. Sometimes that is really this really drives us, you know, this the desire, you know, we craving. And we crave for material things, we crave for things, then we craving to exist, craving to be and craving not to be, to identify who ourselves, me and mine. I'm a kind person, I'm a generous person. And craving not to be. This is how we always swing from one end to another. And unless we have this wisdom, then we do not swing. Because we swing from, you know, either way, either from craving to be and craving not to be. Because it's remind me, one of my friend, we used to practice together when we were a lay person. So she's a very strong practitioner. And she remember her past life. Because of she remember her past life, and she said that she had enough suffering, she didn't want to reborn again. The more she craved not to be reborn, so she practiced very hard. She really practiced very hard. And she wanted to break through. She wanted to get enlightened. She don't want to be reborn again. So the harder she tried, the worse. And she ended up become very, very sick. And she had this terrible migraine headache. And she had to stop practicing for a while. She had to go back home and relax, you know. She had to take painkiller. And she was very sick. This is how craving not to be is still craving. That is the cause of suffering. So when we give, you know, we give, we feel happy. And actually happiness is one of the foundation for the peaceful mind. Why sometimes people find it very difficult to become peaceful? Because the mind just restless. The mind just, you know, want to go here and there. The mind can't stay still because of our craving, because of our desires. So when we give, the more we give, then actually we have the joy and the happiness. We feel inside ourselves, you know, when we give, we feel, you know, a sense of letting go. You know, when the more we give, we feel that, you know, when we try to get something, we feel that it's a tightness in our body. So when we give something, we feel good. We have this direct psychological effect that you feel good, at ease and at peace. Then it's easy. Then we need to, this happiness itself is an energy. So you become very energetic. So when we meditate, when we focus on the breath become more interesting. So actually it's nothing special with the breath. But if you have the happy mind, so whatever things that you focus on, you look at, is beautiful. I remember when the first time when I, the first retreat that I've done, and I was very happy after the retreat, and I gone back, everybody looks good. And the person that I hated most also is look lovely. And this is how the mind, actually, and some people have this bright limiter. Actually, the limiter is come from the reflections of the mind. If your mind happy, so the breath become interesting. So it's important. So why people cannot, it's very difficult to become peaceful because they have not done enough, you know, giving in, not give enough. Do lots of good deeds. It's no need to have giving material things like be of service, to help, you know, to support someone, to give time to yourself and to give time to your family, to be with them. And that is also an act of kindness, to give. Then you feel happy, that support. And this giving, these spiritual qualities is also the foundation for the peaceful mind. They say it's important we give. And also help us to let go, you know, is a way of letting go. Because if we can't let go from a coarser level, how come we let go from the more refined level that is the sense of self? Craving, the craving to be and craving not to be. The more we can give, you know, then the more we can let go. And the more we can let go, the more we can forgive. Why people find it very difficult to forgive? Because it comes from the sense of self, the ego. The Buddhas talk about these three conceits. I'm better, I'm as good, I'm terrible. So we identify ourselves who we are. We are a terrible person. We are I'm good person. I'm as good. That is the sense of self. We constantly, you know, identify who we are. And that is the problem. That is the cause of our suffering. And why we can't forgive? The bigger the ego is, the more difficult you get forgive. You know, the smaller the ego, the humbler you are, the easier. Those who have big ego, the mind is very narrow. If those that have big heart, so they have a big heart, they're very humble. And they can forgive easily, they can embrace. And I remember, you know, when I talk about embrace and forgiveness, and remind me when my son was a teenager, when he was about 17 years old. And one day, the principal, he called me. He said, "Can I speak to you?" Usually when the principal called the parents, that is not really good. So I said, "Oh, I don't know what my son have done." So I was being asked to see the principal. So when I went to see the principal, and he said to me that my son being disrespectful to the discipline master. Then he said that, you know, the discipline master complaining to the principal. So then after that, I said, "Okay, I will go back and I talk to my son." Then I went back, I talked to him, I asked him. I said, "I heard that you have been disrespectful to your discipline master. Did you do that?" "Yes, I did," he said. Then I said, why did you do that? And he said, "Because he accusing me. Because he accusing me things that I didn't do." So then he challenged him. He tell him that, come and check me. I have cigarette. I have this in my pocket. Come and check me." Of course, the discipline master was very unhappy that he's not respectful to him. Then he complained to me. Then I told him, I said, "You know, yes, maybe your discipline master make a mistake. He accusing you. But don't forget, your discipline master is also a human being. We all make mistakes." You know, I said, I wasn't born as a parent, you know. I don't know how to become a mother, you know. I only learn it as I go along, you know. It's not that I just, you know, I wasn't born as a mother, know how to look after, you know, to take care of you. I said, I make mistakes too. I always make mistakes. I said, it's just like a mother, the love, the unconditional love to the children. I said, whatever mistake you have done, I always forgive, I always embrace. But as a children, do you forgive your parents? If your parents make mistakes, we all make mistakes. Because it's just being human. Because just being part of the quality of being unenlightened. So I told him, I said, "You know, you forgive. This is a very good quality, to be able to forgive, to be able to have a big heart, to be able to forgive and let go and forgive others if they make mistakes. Because if we be able to put ourselves on the other people's shoes, we know that, you know, because we know sometimes we make mistakes too." So I said, "You know that is just part of, you know, being unenlightened. This is a quality of unenlightened. I said, "So you forgive him." So I encourage him. I said, "You go and talk to your discipline master and ask for forgiveness. You know, to apologize, say, I'm sorry." So after that, the next day, he went back to school, and I wait for him when he come back, and I asked him. I said, "Did you speak to your discipline master?" He said, "Yes, I did." I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I went up there and said that I'm sorry," and he apologized that he didn't ask for forgiveness, that what he had done. And the discipline master have a big smile and just hug him. So that is how he learned. Like the Buddha said, only through loving kindness. So they said, this is the more we give, actually giving, because of we can't let go the sense of self, the ideas, the view and opinions, you know, we are right. You know, the self-righteousness, you know, sometimes you think that, you know, I know, they make mistakes, but but because of we are our views and opinions, because we hold on to our views and opinions, we are right, that person is wrong, then we can't forgive. So because of we can't, you know, because we can't let go. So as we give, if we practice, if we just only start from these qualities, if we really do it properly, you know, this giving, and to cultivate this quality of giving, these spiritual qualities, and actually it's lead on to one thing to another. The more, if we can't forgive, then we have to look at, you know, our morality and our virtues, and whether we be able to give enough. So if we can't forgive, then we are not giving enough. So the more we give, the more we be able to forgive. The more we be able to forgive, you know, then we are happier. That's letting go. And gradually, it will not happen overnight. They said the Buddha stressed so much about this, why he's emphasized so much this generosity. That is the one of the foundation stone for this path to enlightenment. That is generosity, giving, sila, that is morality, bhavana, and wisdom. So the wisdom only arises when you have a peaceful mind, when you have a happy mind. So when we give, we feel happy. The more we give, you feel happy. It's just like last week, you know, the food fair. Everybody was, they worked so hard, but everybody was so happy because they give, because this generate lots of energy. You don't feel down, you feel bright. They said it's very important that the more we be able to let go, you know, we let go a little bit, we have a bit of happiness, just like Achancha said. So if we let go more, we have more happiness. And we let go completely, we have complete happiness. It's just like we be able to let, give, forgive, you know, be able to give, you know, up, you know, completely. Then we be able to forgive. Because actually it's suffering, because we're holding on to the grudges, you know, on and on and on the mind. It's a lot of suffering. I remember one of my relatives, she always used to be, her husband used to abuse her. And she told me that even though her husband abused her, she never want, she don't want to have any evil towards her husband. She want to forgive, because she knows that holding on to that, actually ultimately, she's the one who suffer. So sometimes we think that we give, then we have no more. I remember one of my relatives, he said, oh, if I give, you know, even sharing merits, he said, oh, you share merits. He said, oh, if I share, then I have no more. I said, no, the more you give, you get more. You know, I remember one of the Anagarikas, she reminded me that now I have 5 big children, because when I come to monastic life, I thought that I give up, you know, let go of my son, you know, I let go of one maternal child, so I get back 5. So not to be afraid of giving, you know, the more you give, you get more back. So now I got all this big baby. So you give, actually ultimately, you know, we are the one who benefit, because towards the end of our life, we spend the whole life accumulating. Do you think that we can take this with us? We can't, isn't it? We can't carry the car with us. In Malaysia, you know, we the Chinese, you know, they like to burn the paper, you know, those paper, those Mercedes-Benz made of paper, and those bungalow big house made of paper, you know. They think that they can take this with them, you know, you can't. Nothing you can take with you. But the only thing you can take with you is the quality of your mind, the beautiful mind. That is a wholesome state of mind. that you can take with you. So this is one of the very important qualities, and a lot of people tends to overlook this quality. So they think that they can just, a lot of people come to us, they say, just teach me meditation. I just want to meditate. I'm not interested in anything else. You can't. You have to take up the whole path of practice. That is the noble path. So you have to practice like generosity, virtue, morality, and cultivation of the mind. Each one of them is important, is essential. And each one of them is not an end of itself. Of course, if you just practice giving generosity, if you don't your morality is no good. So you need to have the morality supported by that. But each one of them is important. They are the foundation of each other's. And the morality, because giving is also part of the morality. So the morality is the foundation for a peaceful mind. So the peaceful mind is a foundation for developing the wisdom. So the wisdom that is leads us to freedom. Freedom from all suffering. So I offer this for your reflections. May this teaching be of benefit to all of you. May you succeed in giving and forgiving, and also lead you all the way to freedom from all suffering. So any questions or comments? Yes? Yes. So actually someone just wanted to share one of the story from the Buddha's story, that a lady that she's very poor and she have no money to offer because she saw everybody's offering likes to the Buddha's, and she cut some of her hair and she gets some money and she offers a small light, but her likes burns the longest. So and the someone asked the Buddha why. The Buddha said because she give with the heart. They said it's actually said giving actually is not that. A lot of people think that you give and then you can really get something in return. No, because you give, that is you with your heart, you feel happy. So when you're happy, you're energetic. When you're energetic, whatever you do, you tend to be more successful in your career, anything, And then you got your well-being. And that is not directly that where you a lot of people thought that, no, I'm giving this and I got this back. No, it's the mental qualities, our mind, that is the qualities that is really important that we cultivate that. Because this is the only thing that we can take with us, towards the end of our life. People spend the whole life accumulating things. So do they ever cultivate any, good, do some good deed? It's just like our cat, talking about, our cat, and she's had very good karma, but I think because of she's not virtuous, she's been giving, I think that's why she's a good, she has lots of food, she's, because we've been joking that she's never keep her precepts, that's why she's born as a cat. She give, but she never keep her precepts. That's why she's born as a cat. So yeah, and this is how it's really our heart. Actually, we can feel that ourselves. When we do something good, we can feel that our body relax. We feel that when we give something, we feel And when we try to get something, we feel our bodies is tense. So if you pay, you can pay attention to your body when you try to get something, when you crave for something, you just pay attention how it feel like. You can feel it. And actually it's affect, you know, mentally and bodily. Because if you're always tense, then it's affect the body. The mind tense and the body is tense. And you just imagine it's constantly tense. You're not happy. And then you use up lots of energy. The energy is very low. That's why, like those people have depression. Usually, the psychologist or psychiatrist encourage them to do a lot of good of service, do a lot of servicing, because they really generate lots of energy. You feel happy. You have lots of energy. And lots of people come to me that told us about their. The experience, you know, because if we are too focused on ourselves, then all we think is ourselves, then, you know, it's manifest. So if we think of others, you know, then we take away, you know, because sometimes the things actually is very small, but if we focus too much, it becomes like unbearable. But if you go out to help, if you think that how many people is the need, you know, they're so unfortunate, and you know that sometimes we tend to take it for granted. I remember a week ago, someone come to me that because we were talking about karma, like, you know, how important to cultivate the mind and the karma and things like that. And he have one of the questions he's asked. He said that he have this fear that towards the end of the life, because he said. His fear of the last moment thought. He said, I cannot control my thought. Because what happens if the last moment thought that arises is something, things that I have done in my previous life? And that's what happened. Then I told him, I said, you know, you don't spend time worrying about things that might and might not happen. The most important now, you know, that the this moment. So you practice now, keep practicing. I said you reflect on your own goodness. So bring that up, your own good qualities. You do something good, the Buddha encourages to reflect on our own goodness. I said, look at your own goodness. I said, bring that out. I said, not to underestimate the power of your own goodness. I say, if you do that, become a mental habit, habitual pattern, and you do it all the time. I say, you know, I said, now you're so fortunate. I said that you've been born as a human and have the opportunities to listen to the Dharma and also practice, have this healthy body. So I said, reflect on that. Then you become more appreciative what you got. And then not to complain all the time, you know, that things that you don't have and worry about things that might and might not happen. I said, the most important now, if you're not happy now, you think you'll be happy next moment? This is important. The giving, also giving yourself to this moment. Giving. So if you be able to do that, you know, whatever you do, you give it 100%, give it completely. You give it yourself, then it becomes a mental habitual pattern. I said, you just keep reflecting on your own goodness, not to worry about things might and might not happen. I said, this moment is much more important. We don't even know whether we're going to be still alive next moment. So I said, not to worry about that. I said, if the heavy karma that is only the karma that the heavy karma that if you have done that, I said you will not be reborn as a human being, because the fact that you have this material well-being and be able to practice, you have mixed lots and lots of good karma. That's why you come to this point. So they say it's important when we do something good, we reflect and we get this inspiration. We inspire ourselves. So any more questions and comments? Yes?
Did you happen to go to Burma?
Huh?
Did you happen to go to Burma?
Yes, I did, because I let go. I let go. I let go completely. And my teachers, yes, Ajahn Mayama said, yes, you can go. Because I let go completely, that is the result of letting go. Yes, any more questions and comments?